irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Morning to you, laddies.
Is that an Irish?
Yeah, a little Scottish bit. I don't know. It's just that? a gibberish.
Gibberish accent.
Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood. Your hosts with the most, Eddie Pence. I haven't seen you
Hello.
In a couple weeks.
And it's been a while.
You've been kidnapped by refugees.
Just hiding out.
Yeah. You've been shooting some stuff.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about
it? Wait, yeah, it doesn't matter.
What are you shooting?
my friend's making a... We're trying to make a feature film, like super low budget on the fly, like no budget.
That's cool.
So we're just shooting on my iPhone. We did the short last year, and he got it into some like Cinephone. I guess it's for a festival for films shot on an iPhone.
Wow.
And so we just expanded the idea to a feature, and now we're trying to shoot it the same way.
The coolest thing about shooting it on an iPhone is the audio comes out pretty decent, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, I have like a little rig for it, and it's got a little boom mic that plugs in, so the audio sounds pretty good. It's not as good as being able to like put lavs on to somebody.
I went to a couple film festivals when I had my video out, and I heard about this movie that was completely shot on an iPhone called Orange.
There was another one. I think too, but they shot. We're using the same app. It's called Filmic Pro. It's the same app that they use, and it, like you can like pull focus, and it's really it gives you a lot of flexibility that you didn't know you had
on your phone.
Yeah.
So the app changes like the way you can shoot the movie.
You can pull focus. You know, like you can pull focus. Like I could be focused. People are listening. They can't see, but you could focus on an object near you, and then just move your thumb on the screen, and it'll. Make the background in focus and the foreground. It's called rack focus is the film term.
That's awesome. I didn't know you could do that. Yeah, you can't do that just without it.
No. Huh. No.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then you can change the color temperature and make it look more blue or more red. I mean, you can do a lot of stuff you can't really do.
Are you doing it like traffic style, like Soderbergh, where you have different scenes with different grains or filters?
No, I mean, I'm not directing it. Dustin, he's been a guest on the show before. Dustin's directing it, and he's in charge of that, so I'm just sort of acting in it and helping produce it. So.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's like people you like working with, too.
Yeah, I mean, we're just doing it like when we can get people together to shoot the scene.
How many people are totally in it?
We're still writing as we go.
Oh, my God. Really?
We have an outline for the movie.
Crazy.
We have an outline drawn up for the movie, but we're sort of shooting it, like writing it as we go. Like, we're going to do this scene.
That's impressive.
So it's a different way to try to make a movie, but in this day and age, it's like the only affordable
Do you find that it's easier or just crazy?
It's just like long because, you know, we've shot the last two Tuesdays after I've been here. We've been shooting and we shot two scenes. So.
Wow.
But they're short scenes, but it's just, you know.
That's
It's not like
cool.
blocking out 3 weeks and shooting every day and knocking it out. It's like it's going to take a while to do it.
Yeah, it's amazing that how many people are able to do stuff with limited budgets or even just like gear that everybody has underneath their nose.
Your phone.
And to make something kind of cool with it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, when I was coming up through film school 20 years ago and before that, if you wanted to make a movie, it was right before the digital age kicked in. And like even before then, like the 90s, if you wanted to make a movie, you had to want to make that movie because it was going to cost you thousands of dollars. If you had to shoot on film and edit on film, I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars just to make a short.
Wow.
You know, now you can just do it on your iPhone and edit it almost in an app on your phone or on your laptop.
So you edit it in the phone too?
No, but hypothetically you could edit
in
your phone.
That's crazy.
But it's just and the iPhone shoots in 4K, which is what you still see broadcast at Man's Chinese Theater on iMac. I mean, it's still the same quality.
So then what's the difference? What's the difference in the cameras then?
Lenses usually.
Okay.
Focal length, stuff like that. You can do, you have much more range with like a, you know, a 7D, a Canon 7D camera, because you just have the, you know, different
That's
lenses.
Wild, dude. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
But and storage, you can only store so much on your phone, so you can only take so many takes where you have to unload everything.
Well, you got the Clint Eastwood approach.
Yeah.
First two takes. That's it.
That's it.
We don't have any more room.
Do some rehearsal and
the
knock
scenes
it out.
Are done. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Awesome, man.
So that's what I've been
What's
doing.
It called?
Drive.
Drive.
Not like the other movie, Drive.
No, I figured that. Different. I figured it'd be a little bit different.
A little different.
Well, right on, man. I had a crazy week. I went to see Coldplay. That was a fun
Where were they playing?
Night. They played at the Rose Bowl, and the best part was some friends of mine that are going to be guests on the show, my horn section, the regiment, they ended up coming out and playing with them.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know it beforehand. So they just like showed up and started playing, and I turned to my girlfriend and my brother, and I was like, oh my God, I think that's the regiment, because they played on the song that they played on the record.
Okay.
And the crazy thing is I didn't even think they were in L.A. because they'd just done Rock and Rio with Justin Timberlake.
They've probably just been avoiding you.
No. They didn't avoid me.
You just didn't return your phone call.
No.
It's
because they're out of the country, Eddie. Right, yeah. They actually did some cool concerts. Their last three gigs. This is pretty impressive. They did Rock in Rio with Justin Timberlake, and then they did a huge concert with Pharrell, Justin Timberlake, Dave Matthews Band for Charlottesville, and then their third gig was playing the Rose Bowl with Coldplay.
Jeez.
I mean, talk about like...
And they still hang out with you?
Yes, they did. You know what? They totally hooked us up with backstage passes.
Right.
But the funny thing is, like, we went to this little after party.
Yeah.
And Bonnie was just, like, scoping, looking for Chris Martin, any of the band members. She was like, all right, let's go. I was like, what? You don't want to stay for a little bit? She's like, yeah, nobody's here. And I was like, wow, you've really become L.A. now.
Yeah. Wow. It didn't take long.
It was pretty awesome. But, my brother was like, so do celebrities come to these? I'm like, not really. I'm like, the food's good, though, and there's lots of drinks, and there's a lot of beautiful people.
It's just like the general backstage pass, not the VIP backstage.
Like Coldplay, especially in their 30s, they ain't going to after parties. They're being rushed out, going to a swanky hotel room, and the guitarist actually talks about it. He's like, the dichotomy of what we do is that we play in front of stadiums of 60, 80, 100,000 people, and they're quickly whisked off into a private car, and then we're thrown into our own hotel rooms, you know, separately, and we're just sitting by ourselves in our own hotel room, just like decompressing. And it's a little bit of like, that's where it kind of becomes almost depressing, you know, because they waste their high just like sitting in a hotel room by themselves. So I think, you know, sometimes they get a little bit bummed that that's how they kind of have to do it. But
why do they have to do it that way? Why can't they just?
Because, you know, it's like they're crazy people. Like,
well, yeah, but
there are lawsuits. There are, you know, there's liabilities. It's an insurance thing. It's all of that stuff. So them going to an after party at the Rose Bowl. I mean, even Paul McCartney, if he does an after party, will do it at like some swanky hotel. He won't do it on the grounds. But then there are times where I have gone backstage to some of these, and the whole bands are there, and it is like a big hang, and it's usually for somebody's birthday, and it becomes a really cool night. But for something that big, I didn't expect to see them there, so yeah. Only stayed 5 minutes. And then I saw Bill Maher do some stand-up. He's great.
Where'd you see him do stand-up at?
He did it at Microsoft Theater. So
where's that at?
It's you know, the Nokia Theater.
Oh, they renamed it.
They called it Microsoft Theater. You know, his stand-up was good, but it's better on the show. It's like really sharp on the show.
Well, yeah, it has to be on the show.
And it was just like, it was good, but it was like, but you know, the best part about that is like he's got great perspective and views on things. So I like the way he looks at life and questions some religion and questions
some politics.
He questions
all religion.
He questions all religion.
That's some religion.
But, I mean, that's what's cool. I mean, he was raised Catholic, raised Jewish, and, you know, has questions about all of it. And then, you know, he asks the right questions when it comes to politics. And, you know, it was cool. It was very cool. So now I'm just trying to, like, motivate after a good weekend.
Mm.
Very tough, Eddie.
No, this is
tough. In our old age.
It's very tough.
I say our because you and me, you know?
I know.
But anyways, it looks like our special guest, our returning guest, Philip Brandon. How are you, buddy?
What's going on?
Oh, our studio hands, they love you. They want they just want another one. Two rounds of applause.
Two rounds, huh?
For the price of one.
Yes, sir.
Philip is also, Eddie, you may not know this. Yeah. Or maybe you do.
What?
Philip is also the bass in our acapella group.
Yeah, I know that.
He's such a badass. Honestly, you know what? Mike and I always talk about, like, we've sung with a lot of people. Philip's the best bass.
He's the bassiest.
He's the best. No, you really are.
Okay.
Like, He's the best bass I've ever sung with. And the funny thing, too, it's like, he looks like a bass. So it's like, that also plays into, like, dude, not only is he a badass, just a singer and bass singer, you know, but he doesn't fake bass. You can't fake the bass with this guy. Mm. But he also, like, he, like, holds it down, man. It's like, yeah, man.
Thanks, man.
I mean it. I mean appreciate it. That. So you're doing, let's talk a little bit. You, like, you're coming back, you're doing, is this your second or third record?
This is my first full-length record.
Oh!
Yeah, so the last one we did was an EP, okay, which five-song EP, when that was really fun. That was, like, you know, quite a few years ago. So this is my first, like, full-length album that I'm just so excited about.
Yeah.
It, so excited.
So how did you think, well, like, let's just jump into your record real quick. What was the biggest difference between you doing an EP and a full-length?
This one is more, the writing is more pinpointed. I wanted to do, I'm big on storytelling, so I wanted to do something that had an actual storyline within it, you know, a story. I always say that it's kind of like a, it's a journey of hope navigated in love.
Ooh. So. Hey, just say that one more time.
Hey, it's a journey of hope navigated in love.
It's kind of like the story with Eddie and me. Hey, buddy. No?
He's
not,
like,
so, not so much? He's like, no. That's crazy. So, and what were, like, the styles? You've got a lot of jazz.
Yeah, man. Like jazz is definitely the focal point there. But it's more like a jazz soul, an homage to old school R&B. A lot of those influences in there. And it's just a really feel good record.
Yeah.
We had a great time recording it. And
how long did it take to record?
We took our time, man. So we started with a couple tunes back in as early as 2015.
Wow.
And I mean, I really took my time because I didn't want it to be a rush job. Yeah. I wanted to really, you know, kind of tell.
It's hard to do it like that sometimes.
It is, dude. But, you know, I just took my time with it, and so hopefully it shows.
So let me ask you this: did you, like, mix it all together? Did you mix one song at a time? Like, mm-hmm. if you started two songs, in 2015, mm-hmm. were those songs finished, and then you just kept on moving forward?
Yeah, we got ahead and went in and did that, and that was done with a producer friend of mine named Dr. Ford. And we mixed those, got those together.
Does he really have a PhD?
Now that,
yeah. That's question.
In love. No. No, but.
Same with Eddie.
There it is.
You have a PhD in love, right?
No.
No?
I have a PhD in naps.
I think he's sleeping over there now.
Might be. I'm just looking at your I like the album design, the cover design.
Thank you.
This is the one, right?
That is the one. Yeah, that's the actual design of it was done by a friend of mine named Iman Faulkner. So great stuff. But anyways, yeah, so we did that back in 2015. We did the editing and got that down, and then I continued writing, and then I got a chance to work with who is an industry legend. Actually, his name is Preston Glass to produce the
Preston Glass.
Preston Glass.
That's a great name.
Yeah,
that's a great name.
And he's
is he like this? He was like miming. Like, I'm Preston Glass, man.
No, he's a fantastic. He's worked with everyone.
Is that him?
Franklin and that's him there. Cool. Just, you guys can't see it, but and he's worked with
just to imagine an older man in a fedora.
There it is, with glasses.
With glasses and headphones around his neck.
So he looks like a producer too.
He looks like a
producer. and so we did those separately, and then what we did was we mastered them all together to make sure that it was one continuous
cohesive
unit. Yeah.
Awesome. So. Awesome. And what's the instrumentation from song to song? Is it same band throughout,
no,
or is there a little slight variation?
It's slight variations. We have, we just used whoever we could get to get the sound that we were looking for and who was available, obviously, at the time. So it's not just, my first record was pretty much the same band the whole time. This one, you know, I used some guys that tour with me and then some guys that we were able to kind of get who were graciously friends of Preston. Mm-hmm. So that, like on Stay in the Moment and Mystic Blue, a couple of those tunes, they were able to, he was able to get some of his friends in there. So
that's very cool. And you know what? I never really do this, but I looked at the back of your song titles.
Okay.
And they're dope.
So uh-huh.
I want you to just read them out. One track, one. What do you have, 10 tracks total?
I got 10 tracks.
All right, so read. I just want our listeners Just listen to the names, because the names are dope.
Thanks,
go
man.
For it.
So listen, we starts with The Story Begins. That's the title track of the album. We got Chocolate Child, Come On, Wait for Love.
Can you go bassier?
Yeah, go bassier. Take your time.
Like you're trying to get Nikhil's pants off.
Oh, God.
Like you want to get Nikhil's pants off.
Y'all are crazy. Then we got Stay in the Moment.
There you go. Slow it down. Don't rush through it.
I'm trying to do it without laughing.
Stay in the moment. Do exactly what the song title says.
Number seven is called Looking for You in Somebody Else's Eyes.
Ooh, good title, dude.
That's and then we have Mystic Blue.
Why'd you spell it like blue cheese?
I thought it was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Goodbye, Best of You, and The Promise.
Very nice. Good titles, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's like that's a very Prince thing to do, to change the title, like the word, like the
blue cheese.
Yeah.
Blue cheese. That's something Prince would do. You do weird stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, let's just jump into one of your performances. What are you going to play us first?
We're going to do the first single from the album, which is titled Come On.
All right.
Yeah, here we go. One, two, three, atcha. Sorry, I have something to tell you, but I haven't got the tact to care. Lonely is the way I feel about it when I decide I don't want to share. How do I make you see beneath the surface is a bed of lies? When will you come with me, assuming we know nothing makes us white? Come on together, no matter the weather, will make us all better if we do it. Come on together, no matter the weather, will make us all better if we do it. Regret, it's our excuses made a candy making failure taste so good and sweet. Never will I just sit and watch a film about a world that beats you down and then puts it on repeat. How do I help you, please? Pull back the blanket and unveil the disguise. Right this way, come with me. After we do better, comes a surprise. Together, no matter the weather, will make us all better if we do it. Come on together, no matter the weather, will make us all better if we do. Come on now. Come on together, no matter the weather, will make us all better if we do it. Come on together, no matter the weather, will make us all better if we do it.
Yeah.
Woo! I hope that's an audience member.
That was hot. That was hot, Eddie.
Yeah. And you didn't laugh at all at the title.
No, come on. You see that
yeah,
in there? You know what? That was dope.
That was great.
You got to introduce your guitarist. Who's playing with you?
We got Mr. Shingo Yuji over here that is from Japan, and he decided to come and hang out with us today.
I like your hat.
Yeah, it's cool.
Japangelus?
Japangelus. I
didn't even notice that before. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Very cool. Great playing. Sounded awesome. Great song.
Thanks, man.
Great singing.
Thanks, brother.
And you know what's crazy? It's like I always hear him singing in the low register. To hear him like popping off these like high notes, I'm like, damn! He's going to take my part, Eddie. He's going to take my part. No, it sounded great, man.
Hey, thanks,
a lot of
dude.
Energy. Dude, you're such a slamming singer. Seriously.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it,
man. It's awesome.
You have any live performances coming up?
Yeah.
Yes, actually.
Yeah, look at you.
Now that you asked. Hey, listen, we're doing the official release of this album on Thursday, October 12th. at the Colony Theater in Burbank.
So 2 days from
now. That's 2 days from now. And it's at 7:30 p.m. And come on out and hang with us, man.
What's the cover?
$25 in advance. And then it's, I think it's, they're doing 30 at the door, I believe.
Okay.
So you definitely want to go ahead and jump in on that. And
you,
it's
you
just,
playing the whole album? Or you...
We're going to be playing the whole album and a couple other tunes. And it's a co-headlining gig that I'm doing with a buddy of mine named Elijah Rock, who just released an album as well recently. So it was a nice pairing, and we're really excited about it. So.
Cool.
That's awesome. And yeah. Are you doing this record like straight to back?
Are
you kind
yes.
of changing the order a little bit?
I think we are doing it pretty much straight back to back to back. Yes.
I've only done that once in my life, and it was definitely kind of an experience.
Yeah, it's different because obviously different. There's a different flow live than there is, yeah. you know, studio wise. So, but now that I'm thinking back at the actual album, I think it is actually.
But I loved it. It was very memorable to go through that, to go song by song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas other CD releases, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I don't remember the song order unless I go back and like listen.
Look at it, yeah.
But yeah, it's very cool when you do like that storybook vibe. Where it's like chapters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, let's listen to something. What do you want to listen to, Eddie?
Chocolate Child.
Chocolate Child. I was hoping. Are you trying to project something, Eddie?
Hey, no, he's like,
hey,
it is.
I'm right over here, bro. Look me in the eyes when you say it.
You're more Coffee Child.
All right, I'll take it.
Oh, we're gonna play.
Okay. Yeah, we'll
Little chocolate child, you were born of rich ancestry. Little chocolate child, yet somehow it's a fight to be free. You've blessed in a strength that no one can take away. In spite of what they say, never give up, take it day by day, 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 day. Little chocolate child, you're the gnome from a long time away. Little chocolate, chocolate child, the word spoke and now it's time to obey. Every test makes you stronger with each passing hour. Your creator has commissioned a child. As you blossom, you are life's scour. Chocolate child,
yes.
Chocolate
child,
little chocolate child, so misunderstood and still so denied. Little chocolate child, the beauty of your skin is only deepened by the soul that breathes within. Your time has come, your only choice is to win. Walk in pride past the end. Did it, did it, did it, did it, did it. Hey! The soul that breathes within. Your time has come, your only choice is to win. Walking right past the end. Did it, did it, did it, did it. Hey, John the Child. Help them, baby,
Chocolate,
as you move along. Their roots go round and around and around and come back to you.
Yeah, very nice. First of all, who's playing the electric guitar on that?
That's actually Preston Glass.
Dude,
doing that
sounds
one.
Great. Thank Preston, you. I like the playing, man. Very cool licks. Dude, great tune.
Thank you, brother.
Very, like, Bill Withers, man. It's got a man. Bill Withers vibe.
I told you, I love that. I love that throwback. You know,
that,
like,
that's it, man.
Tell a story.
Yes. You do it. You do it. And I just read something that I was secretly doing backflips about because I can't believe you never told me this.
What?
Your mom was a backup singer for Ray Charles?
Yes, she was.
You definitely. Never told me that.
I guess it didn't come
Dude,
up,
what man. Do you mean? Do you see? You've seen the Ray Charles. I've got his box set. I mean, he's like one of my favorite musicians ever.
Man, and the other connection to that that I pieced together was, you know, because it's kind of when you're growing up, that's just, you know that. So it's like, oh, yeah, mom was a Ray Lap for a bit. Yeah, that's cool. But this school, I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Before Ray passed away, he gave, I think it was $2 or $3 million, and they had a Ray Charles Performing Arts Center at the school that I went to. So there's like two separate connections, which I think is really cool. But
that's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, man.
How many years did she do that?
She did. I actually don't know the exact amount of time that she did.
Well, you're going to find out and text me because
I will
dude,
find out
I'm
and text you.
Humongous Ray Charles fan and. I know the Ray Letts
yeah.
very well, and I cannot believe I've known you for years, and I've never heard that story
really?
Until right now. So I didn't even know you grew up in that kind of background
yeah.
with music. What was that like when you were a kid? Like, what made you kind of excited about music in the same way?
Honestly, hearing stories about her touring with Ray, her touring with, she did a bunch of top 40 bands, and she toured the world. So it was like hearing that. That kind of stuff and just being immersed in that. And then my dad, he's just, you know, just a music lover. You know what I mean? So yes. It's just having it playing at all times, you know, in the house. So it was awesome. It was just second nature.
Was your mom like, you're a little flat on this? No, you're a little...
No, you know what's
That's
awesome...
That's tough, having a performer as a parent.
You know what's awesome about my mom is she allowed me to, like, do my thing.
That's
and, like,
cool.
you know, like, I could always tell if it was something that was great because she would, like, be, you know, gung-ho about
yeah.
it. Or if it would, if you know, if finish something and she'd be like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, or the mommy thing. I'm like, okay, yeah, that was it.
That's,
you know?
I'm in shock. I've known this guy forever and now he tells me. And I find it out in a bio. He doesn't even tell me. Anyways, and you were also the narrator for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah, I've been with them for about 8-9 years now, I think it is. And, you know, we tour arenas as far, I always say, as far northeast as Seattle, as far southeast as Miami. And, you know, we do a big tour every year, which is all awesome. I'm actually going to be ramping up to go out with them.
They've been around for like 30 years, right? Something like that?
Longer than that, isn't it?
No. Well, they
Since
started
the
70s, out...
Right?
The 70s, right? No. Trans-Siberian Orchestra actually... They started out as a group called Sabotage back in the 80s, 90s, and then they went under Trans-Siberian Orchestra in the late 90s.
Okay.
And they've
okay.
been touring ever since. So yeah.
Still 20 years?
Roughly 20 years.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's, man.
So what do you do as a narrator for that?
I tell the story.
So you just like, you set up every song?
I set it. So it's like a rock opera, essentially.
All right, you're gonna have to give me like a little...
Oh, I don't even
five
know if
second.
I can remember.
Bulls.
I
don't
know.
Come
oh my
on.
God, like,
give me a little tidbit.
What can I say here?
Throwing them on the spot.
Wait, when it's on the spot, when it's a song, it's like, okay, that's that. But it's a... in this room where shadows live and ghosts that failed learn time forgives. Welcome, friends. Please stay a while. Our story starts with one small child who spends this night in an attic dock. Okay, that's all you
need. Yeah!
That's
all you need. Yeah, so nice.
Sounds like Vincent Price.
It does. You know, I'm going to have him narrate every story in your mind. Some dark stories. I'm
joking. He's like, and he just gets quiet.
What are you talking about?
I'm just teasing. Well, let's get to another performance, a live performance. What are you going to play us next?
So this is it's called Stay in the Moment. And actually on the record, my mom sang with me on it. So make sure you guys take a listen to that. But it's a tune that I wrote, and it's more on the ballad side. So this is Stay in the Moment. Infinite gratitude when you look in her eyes. Loneliness starts to fade into its own demise. You'd rather talk than stare. You feel there's no time to spare. In a haste, you make a move to clear the air. I'm telling you, just stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. Don't let go. Don't let go. As you look back at him, the mood begins to glow. Wakes in the endless path where the boat and paddle row. Heart is so sincere, but the mind is sometimes not clear. Of the consequences only made of fear. So just stay in the moment, don't let go. I want you to just, won't you just, won't you just come on and listen to me? Yeah, yeah, stay in the moment, don't let go. Don't let go.
Eddie getting his jazz on today. So what a lot of people don't understand is there's a lot of improvisation even like as you're, you know, kind of singing the song. Like,
yeah.
So how much would you say that you're improvising compared to singing what was composed?
Since that particular one I got a chance to write with Preston, a lot of it is closer to what we actually recorded, a couple licks here and there. So yeah. I would say probably about 90% is okay. What was actually composed.
And you give yourself little moments. That's what I like. You're like, okay, I know where I'm going to go when I do this.
Oh, cool.
So it's really neat. Like it has like this live energy. Like,
thank you, brother.
It's like when you start a run, it's like, ooh, this is going to be a cool little moment. Uh-huh. And you definitely create this cool vibe. It's awesome.
Oh, very cool. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this question. I don't even know if I even asked you from last time.
Uh-huh.
Who are your biggest influences as far as singers?
Yeah, right now is at the top of that list is this gentleman named Gregory Porter.
Oh, man.
Man, he is just, it's amazing, you know. And then talking or getting a chance to listen to his story, his biggest inspiration is Bill Withers. So yeah, it just kind of keeps going. There's another gentleman by the name of Will Downing.
He's won the Grammy. I mean, Greg has run the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, for jazz vocalist.
And, he's such a great, great singer.
Yeah. And then, so that as far as like vocals is concerned, but as far as like my inspirations with just overall creativity and stuff, I mean, I love all of the, you know, 70s, 80s funk bands and stuff. So Earth, Wind & Fire is obviously at the top of that list. And just because the live presentation of it was just always a party. So,
yeah,
those are, they're all at the top of my list there.
You didn't mention Ray or your mom being an influence.
Well, because those are,
those
are
that given. Test, man.
No. Those are, no, I didn't
course,
have to.
Of course.
Ray and my mom, that's like, you know, it's just like why, when you said, hey, why didn't you tell me about it? I'm like,
did you ever meet Ray Charles?
No, I didn't get a chance.
Before your time.
Charles. Yeah.
You were just a twinkle in your mom's
right,
eye.
Right, just
then.
A twinkle.
That's awesome. Eddie?
What? I have no input on that.
On what? I didn't even ask you. Eddie.
You then why'd you say Eddie?
I just said, because I was about to tell you, I'll always be your chocolate child.
No, that's not what you're going to say. That's not what you're going to say.
That's what I was going to say. I swear to God, you interrupted the moment.
No, there was no moment. First of all, there was no moment.
There was no moment.
There was zero moment.
There really was.
No.
Really
you should have just stayed in it.
It was a black hole, if anything.
So, Philip, where else are you touring with this record?
We're working on some stuff for 2018. Like, hopefully the summer of 2018 with a couple festivals and stuff should be great for us. So we can't make any official announcements just yet, but... we're going to go ahead and make the release on Thursday, the official release of that. And then...
isn't it crazy? It's exhausting doing a CD release. Like,
I didn't know that it was going to... Yeah. But it's fun, though, man. Because it's like you get a chance to create on a different... You know, it's like I always say, you have the album that you create with and you're in the studio doing that. And then, you know, once you get ready to do the live show, that's a whole nother, you know, creation process. So,
well, and most of it you were creating by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie's a stand-up comic, and I really am, like, jealous of when you make a record, it's 95% of the time, or 100% of the time, you're in front of an audience.
Yeah.
See, like, musicians, unless you make a live album, that's the only way, and even when you do that, it's like, you're going to have to do it over a couple
of
nights.
Yeah, but you also need a live audience there. You want a packed live audience that's going to laugh at every joke, and so it's not... You don't have as much control as you do as when you're in a studio making an album. You have complete control there. You're making a live stand-up album. You have some control, but you don't.
You're like, fingers crossed.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I hope this is not a crappy crowd, or I hope I don't tape six shows here just to try to get one album out.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I get that.
You don't have
that.
The control that you do.
But it's a cool factor with how you create your art. It's like the silent character. But not the not-so-silent character.
Well, yeah, you can't just do a comedy album without an audience. It'd sound really weird.
Well, when I make a record, it usually takes me 10 months to do a full record.
Uh-huh.
And
Start to finish everything.
And it is, first of all, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. I'm like pretty much anxious throughout the entire thing. I enjoy it, but I'm just like obsessing over levels, obsessing over takes, like trying to listen to it with like an objective... Listening to a guitar solo, and then like, oh, do I want that to have this tone? How do I want to EQ this? Then mixing goes through a phase, then mastering goes through a phase.
Yeah.
Then the album art and all that stuff goes through a phase. While you're probably doing this.
Everything is a phase.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's like this parallel of like when everything's going to kind of like.
And you haven't even started letting people know about it. That's just creating.
I know.
So,
and then when you get the record,
there's
this moment where it does not. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything like it. Yeah. Yeah, you're just like, when you get the record. So when you got the record, first of all, I like the album cover.
Thank you.
Colors, too. Colors are nice.
Thank you. The album cover was actually, the photo was done by a good buddy of mine named Dorian McClain. I think he's actually watching on live right now. So throw that little plug in there, Dorian.
Did he do all the other photos in the...
No, there's like, I had a couple. So I had a really great team around this entire thing. So he did, I used two photographers. One was a gentleman in Dayton Photography out of DC, and then Dorian McClain, who did the cover and a couple of other photos in there. So it you know, just I needed something that kind of drew you in. You know yeah. what I mean? That's what we were going for. So hopefully that's what it does.
Can your next one, can you have a little 70s?
Like, a little 70s chin action. Yeah. So yeah, that's how we came about with that. But yeah, you're right, man. It's like each step has its own, you know, creative prowess that you have yeah. to go through. So it's like, wow.
And you know, when you're creating it, when you're by yourself, yeah. it's like, you have to create an energy
yeah.
without an audience.
Yeah.
And that is one of the hardest things to do in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that...
That's what cocaine's for, isn't it?
Well, yeah, oh, that's why it's part of a lot of albums.
Isn't that the whole point of it?
That's true. But on the flip side of that, when you are creative...
Yeah.
You don't want everybody around to give, chiming in with their opinions.
Yeah.
It's like you can be ultimately as creative as you want
to
be.
Yeah. So I always like to say, like,
it's fine balance.
You have to figure out what it is. Because sometimes you have to suss out what it is that you actually are, you know, what decision you're making. You know yeah. what I mean? Because it's yeah. like, oh, it could be this. And so if you have too many people chiming in, you never got a chance to get the idea out that you wanted to do in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like, you're right. It's a huge balance.
I don't know if you're like this, but this is like when I make a record.
Uh-huh.
My first record used to have it like a big party. I mean, friends coming in.
Oh, nice.
Band members coming in. It was like, we're going to have a good time
yeah.
making a record.
Yeah.
The next record, I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have anybody around. I just want to just make a record
yeah.
and just be creative.
Yeah.
And that's how I make records ever since.
Yeah.
I just don't have the... Like, I'll have people come by every now and then.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, there's something about being in a studio. Mm-hmm. It's like a very solemn place. It's like you can tap into the art. It is Absolutely. Like a canvas. And you have this opportunity to without filter,
mm-hmm.
create some magic,
mm-hmm.
and without anybody chiming in with any opinion.
Because right.
as soon as an opinion comes in, it's like popping with a bubble sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you're building something and you want to just like be delicate and
yeah.
be graceful and just let it be what you want it to be. But
right.
as soon as somebody comes in with, you know, you can have 4 or 5 people coming in with opinions and then it's just like a different thing.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite moments also is playing it
uh-huh.
for everybody that was on the record. Finished.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them in for the mixing phase, the mastering phase. It's like, I want to do that.
Yeah, oh, especially
thing.
Musicians, because, man, they would be like, oh, no, I need that down, or yes. turn that up. And like, and no.
So that's what I was going to ask you.
No. Nope.
Were you sitting in the chair making the decisions
mm-hmm.
with nobody around?
Yeah, and actually a lot of the mixing, or the mastering in particular, but a lot of even the mixing and editing, just because, you know, I do a lot of theater and stuff, so I was actually gone. It was done remotely, so I would listen and give my, you know, my rundown mm-hmm. of all the, you know, like try to be as detailed as possible, because obviously I wasn't sitting right there next to him.
Right.
But yeah, and you know, going back and forth with that, which is, you know, again, that's part of that process, which is, you know, another thing in and of itself. So yeah, it was trying to just make sure that, okay, this is the idea that I was trying to convey. So hopefully that comes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but that's part of it. It's like that perspective of building something. It's
yeah.
like your experience, everything has brought you to this point.
Right, right.
And so you're hearing, like, the one thing that I've noticed with me, everything with making records is about how far your ear has come.
Yeah.
It's not your abilities as a singer. It's not your abilities as what you can play.
Yeah.
It's what you hear and how you balance all of that.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely.
It's really crazy because it's like when I go into a studio, I have to abandon everything that I want it to be and just... like close my eyes and listen.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that he was sending you mixes while you're on the road.
Yeah,
and you're like, you were creating on a tour,
mm-hmm.
and then having to come back to this place of, oh yeah, the record. Let's get back
right.
to what is most important to me.
Yeah. You know, oh, and also, this is the first record that I actually like did. Pressing Glass and I co-wrote 5 of the tunes.
That's cool.
So just having that, so that was another thing too, because the first EP I wrote completely. So having that as well, which is, you know, which was another amazing thing to do, you know, adding and trying to figure out what that synergy is too,
yeah.
which is cool. So
amazing.
Yeah,
let's
man.
Let's hear something else, man. What are we going to play next? The Promise?
Yeah. The Promise.
You know, Philip, I usually only play one studio track, but I like you.
Thanks,
so
man.
We're going to play 2. Don't tell anybody, all right?
Thank you. would have alone and take back with the pride of the gem that's by his side. I'll be yours forever. Light fills the night, a symphony of love so bright. Your heart is so pure, I can only be sure the promise that I gave to you is the easiest to endure. I'll be yours forever. I'll be yours forever.
You're on the verge of tears. Eddie, you were about to get the
I had to have my fingers on the mic buttons to turn them back on. I'm like, I'm getting a cramp here waiting for that to end. I mean, it's great and all, but seriously.
Like, but dang.
Damn,
you're like,
seriously.
The big ending.
I got the point, man.
You know what? It was that big gospel ending. That's my favorite track that I heard so far.
Oh, good.
I really love it.
Yeah,
and you end the record with that?
That's what you end. That's the grand finale.
That is.
So it should have gone on longer.
See, now you're pushing
it. I kind of regret criticizing it. Should have gone on much longer.
And real quick, you did a lot of the background vocals. I know you had background singers on that
one, right?
How many singers did you have total on the record?
I think a total of five.
So I'm still waiting for that phone call. So my phone call must have been lost in the...
It was lost in the shuffle.
I'm kidding.
He didn't want any opinions.
And you see?
That's why he didn't hire you.
That's probably right. No, the vocal arrangement, when I first heard you do the first track that you played, the studio track,
yeah,
I was like, man, he's singing like an a cappella group. Like, he's his own a cappella group.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and actually, that one, I did all the backgrounds on that one, which was cool because I got a chance to do that kind of doo-wop sound, you know?
That's got to be exciting just because you probably don't get a lot of opportunities to do that when you're just performing.
So that
you must have really loved that.
That was cool. And actually, that was an idea of Preston's. He's like, man, you should just do it like this. And I was like, oh, okay, because I love the idea of you know, the female voices on top of like the lower voice.
Well, it's got a good texture.
He suggested it, and it came out great. So
the record sounds amazing, Philip. I'll be there for sure on
awesome
Thursday.
Awesome.
And one more time, where can people find you for the CD release and online?
So for the CD release and online, go to my website, www.philipbrandon.com. That's Philip with two
and
L's.
Spell it out.
PHILLIPBRANDON.com. And all of social media is at Philip Brandon and the number 2.
You got to spell it out because people are dumb.
At PHILLIPBRANDON, the number 2.
And one more time, where is your CD release at what time?
So it's this upcoming Thursday, October 12th, at the Colony Theater in Burbank at 7:30 p.m. sharp.
Love it. Eddie? You look enthralled.
That's great.
You may even come here for his performance.
Doubt it.
Just kidding.
That won't happen. I didn't comb my hair for my wedding. I'm not going to comb my hair for that.
Well, you're like, honey, this is who I am.
This is it. This is what I got.
Well, Philip, it was a pleasure having you on your performance. One more time, introduce your guitarist to all of our listeners.
So this is Shingo Yuji from Japan. And
Japangelis.
From Japangelis, as his hat says.
That's right.
Yeah,
great playing. Yeah. Great singing. Wonderful experience. Go get his record, and it'll be on iTunes, and it'll be debuted on the 20th, right?
On the 20th of this month, yeah.
October. iTunes, it'll be on all the...
Amazon, everywhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Get it. Come on.
Get it.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.